talk Jayhawk football with us now is the head coach of the Kansas football team, David Beatty. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Nate. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, and I'm suffering from a serious case of Patrick Mahomes fever. We've already declared him as the greatest quarterback in human history around here, Coach. He's got 10 touchdown passes through the first two games of an NFL season, which has never been done before by any quarterback, whether a first-year starter or not. So we're a little delirious right now. But there's nothing wrong with that, right? We got to get excited about it.
You know, I think the thing is with that guy, first of all, how do you not kind of fall in love with the game that he plays? I mean, he's exciting. When he was at Texas Tech, I would turn on their game every weekend just to watch what he did. Honestly, just to watch what he did. He's that type of an impact player in the game. And the guy's got so many unique talents, from arm angle to arm strength and his ability to escape. And, you know, the thing that you just said it, I mean, 10 touchdowns in the first two games. I mean, I knew that had to be, it had to be a record. I mean, it's just something that doesn't happen in our day and age. But, you know, I haven't spent a ton of time around Pat, but the time I have and just the time I've spent with Coach Kingsbury, I mean, he's only a better person than he is a player. And, man, I don't know how you can get much higher praise than that.
I wanted to ask you about that a little bit, Coach, because obviously you have such a background in the state of Texas at the high school level and recruiting, obviously, as in your long time as a college football coach. Obviously, he was not one of these surefire five-star can't-miss guys. Coming out, he only played for a couple years as a quarterback in high school. In fact, we've learned all this stuff about him since then. He was thinking about quitting football to focus on baseball because he wasn't getting to play quarterback. And his mom actually told him, if you don't keep playing football, you're going to regret it. Do you remember back when he was at Tyler, Texas, in high school, did anybody, I mean, obviously people didn't, I wouldn't say people predicted that he was going to be this type of NFL player, but what kind of buzz was there about him as a high school kid? Do you even remember back then?
Oh, I absolutely do. I mean, you know, just because he wasn't a highly ranked kid doesn't mean that the reality wasn't what it was. Myself and Cliff Kingsbury, you know, we knew all about him. We knew all about his dad. His dad actually was good friends with Kevin Sumlin, who his dad, you know, is a pro baseball player, one of the most athletic guys that ever played at that level. And, you know, we knew that he came from great stock. We also knew that he was a really, really good player with not a whole lot of experience behind him. You know, one of the things that I always will remember, I mean, that's the same time we're recruiting Kenny Hill, the same time that we're recruiting, you know, really all the other ones. That, he had another one there that went to Cal after that, played for the Giants, just got traded. Golly, he was a really good player that went to Cal after he left Tech. Davis Webb.
Webb, yeah.
Yeah. So all those guys, you know, I remember going and seeing Davis Webb at Prosper, and we knew all about Pat. And I'll tell you this, Cliff Kingsbury knew all about him. So if you just think about it and go back the sequence, it wasn't by chance that he wound up at Tech. You know, I think I have an enormous amount of respect for Cliff and his eye for talent at that position, and he knew all about it. There's no doubt about it, and boy, it came to fruition.
You know, and that brings up a couple things I wanted to ask you about, just, you know, your thoughts as a coach when you're, I mean, gosh, what a job as a recruiter trying to process all these different talents and different systems that they come from, different regions, different high school programs. You mentioned his stock with his dad being a Major League Baseball player, and we've heard a lot about that since then, that he was really ready for the big stage since he was a little kid, because we just heard the story, he was literally shagging fly balls in Yankee Stadium as a five-year-old on game one of the World Series during batting practice. So, like the stage doesn't freak him out because he's seen it before. Do you, when you're recruiting kids, do you find that makes a big difference if a kid's come from a, not just the genetic stock of having a, you know, if your dad's a pro athlete, the odds are you're going to have some good physical ability, but you know, are you able to look at kids and say, you know what, this kid's been around certain things in his life, it's going to help him prepare him? Do you pay attention to those things when you're recruiting kids?
You know, I think that certainly is one of the elements. And with him, it certainly was. I mean, just as you got to meet him, you know, you knew really quickly that this guy had poise and it was going to be very difficult to rattle him. You knew that he was coachable. You knew that he'd been around, you know, the game, really, just any kind of game at a high level. And man, he loved playing. That's the thing that I loved about watching Pat in college, and you're still seeing it now, is, man, he loves playing the game. That's why it's so exciting. You can see his passion and how much he loves doing what he's doing, and he just creates exciting plays. I think a lot of credit goes to Andy Reid and his staff. And the reason I say that is because, you know, they are really playing to the strengths of Pat Mahomes. And that's the thing. How many quarterbacks have we seen leave college, look, the college ranks, and they be unbelievable players, and they may just go to a system that really changes their style, and they're not nearly as successful as maybe people thought they would be. I take my hat off to what Andy and those guys are doing because, I mean, they really have taken a lot of the same concepts that he's already used to, and they're just applying them to the NFL, and I think that speeds the learning curve up so much. I have so much respect for Coach Reid, and he's always been ahead of the game, and right now it just kind of shows that, you know, his mind for how the game evolves and that you have to stay up with it. I think it's living proof that those that do that, they continue to stay on top.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, Coach, from a quarterback standpoint, and I'm tying this back into, you know, to what you guys do at the college level looking for kids. Every year during the draft, we start getting to see all these profiles on the kids that are coming out of college that are pro prospects. And I feel like this is the case, I think, in a lot of American sports now where kids are almost programmed. There's so much coaching. And maybe in the long run, that's an overall a good thing. But there's so much coaching and there's so much teaching on this is what you got to do as a quarterback. You've got to have this arm release. You've got to have this type of footwork. You have to do all these things that it's hard for me to sometimes tell the difference from one quarterback to the other because they're coming through these camps and these systems. And Patrick Mahomes was a little bit of a different case. He wasn't one of those kids, as we talked about. He'd only played a couple years at that position, and he seems to be a little bit more unorthodox in some of the things. And like you said, Andy Reid's kind of seemed to find that balance between teaching him the proper mechanics but letting him still be himself as a quarterback. What do you think of that when you're recruiting kids, seeing a kid who maybe is maybe a little more raw compared to a kid that's gone through all the camps and has all that program stuff? What do you like better? How do you evaluate one kid from another when you're looking at high school quarterbacks?
Right. You know, I really do think it's very similar. You know, it just is at a little bit of a different level. I think really there's so many things that the points that you have to hit on to try to find out who that young man is and what he's capable of doing in addition to what you've seen on tape. That's certainly really, really important. But and then what is his football aptitude and how does he match what you're looking for and how long will it take you to be able to get him plugged into a new system, whether it – you know, it doesn't matter what it is. It's a new system. It's like learning a new language. I mean, people can say what they want, but when you leave a high school offense, you've been in for 4 years, and then you go to a new place, it is literally like converting from English to Spanish. And the more that you can get it as close as you possibly can to what he's used to, the faster that guy's going to be more productive. And that's where, you know, one of the things that we look for is guys that understand the concepts already. And then we look for their personality. We look for certain attributes that they possess that obviously a quarterback has to have, which Pat has that. The other thing is the NFL has one advantage we do not have, and that's that they get to draft people. Now, the thing is, there is competition on draft day, but they get to draft them, so they're choosing them, right? So from our standpoint, we have to recruit them, so there's a competition there. So, you know, in this day and age, you know, you're not seeing people tell a lot of stuff about what's going on in recruiting because all you're doing is putting a target on who you're looking at. So I think you're going to start seeing that stuff be harder and harder to find because you don't really want people to know who you're looking at. I mean, one day I'll share the stories with you about how we found Myles Kendrick and how we hit him till the very last second. Because we knew if we didn't, that there was a good chance that he would blow way up and it may be hard for us to close the deal with him. So there's a lot of different things involved in our level that maybe aren't involved in the pro level. But all in all, you're still looking for the same attributes.
Well, and that's a great transition for us, Coach. And I look forward to hearing that story someday, by the way. How's his conversion going when it comes to learning a new language and learning the offense and all that for you guys?
Well, it's going great, and the reason it's going great is because he's exactly who we thought he was when it comes to his work ethic and his commitment level. That's one of the major things that we're looking for. He's a very cerebral kid, and he's a guy that I have to run out of the field house at night. You know, those are the types of guys that you really, really like. You know, Kerry Meyer, Todd Reese, we used to run those dudes out of here. They just love the game, and Miles is just—he is literally ate up with it. And that's one of the things that allows a guy to come in and play. Hey, I know he's a junior college guy, and I know he played 1 year of junior college, and he's got 3 years left of eligibility. However, he's still learning a new language. So it really is a direct result of the amount of commitment a guy is willing to put in when he comes to a place. Is he going to be able to get himself ready and understand that language? And he's done a terrific job of it so far. I think that's why we've been able to use him as much as we have already.
We've got Kansas football coach David Beatty on the line. And coach, look, two blowout wins in a row for your program. What's it been like around the office? I mean, just with the kids, with the coaches, tell me what the atmosphere has been like for you guys this week after what you've done the last couple of weeks.
Well, it's been very businesslike. And, you know, that's something that we've been preparing for as a staff and as a team, you know, for a long, long time. That, you know, there's going to be a point where the success will start coming our way. And the challenge is going to be for us to continue to stay businesslike. Now, it's hard to win in college football. I don't care who you are and how many games you've won. It just doesn't matter. They're very difficult. So I really believe, I'm a firm believer, Kevin Sumlin taught me this, David Baylor taught me this, Coach Mangino taught me this. You have to enjoy winning because it's very, very difficult. However, there's a timeline, and once that timeline expires, it's time to go to work on the next one. And that's really what I've been most impressed with our guys, is it's very businesslike. They have a taste, and they want more. Now, the reason that I am really encouraged is that we have left a ton out there. I would not use the word blowout. I would say that we played steady games, allowed us to play pretty decent, and be able to come out on the top end of things. However, we've seen so many mistakes that we've made that are very correctable, that if we are able to correct those and others don't pop up, then we got a chance to be a pretty decent football team. But we've got a long way to go, and our guys know that, and they're committed to working to try to get those things fixed. And they're very, very encouraged, and they're very confident. And I think that's something that I'm really pleased with those guys. There's not a cockiness around our place. It's a confidence that, you know, we want to continue to make our fans proud and give them a feeling that they can be proud of.
Has Puka Williams given the rest of the team confidence? It sounds like a silly thing to say, and maybe it is, Coach. You tell me. But it seems like there's a different bounce ever since he's been out on that field, and everybody else seems to be it seems to be infectious when you watch him, and then all of a sudden everybody else is running the ball, and you guys are putting up amazing numbers on the ground right now.
Yeah, he absolutely has. You know, he's a freshman, and he's from New Orleans, and he's a very talented guy, very highly recruited, highly touted guy, and very loyal. And he loves KU, loves this place. And he also loves football. And I think that's where he's made the biggest impact, is they watch this guy be ultra productive, even in fall camp, and they watch him really just live at the field house because he just loves the game. He's always got a smile on his face. I mean, his personality is one that's infectious, and, you know, those guys like to be around him. Now, with that being said, we got a lot of guys like that, but I do believe that really, really talented guys like he is, they can make not only the team better, but they can make a lot of guys around them better and raise the level of the team. And I think at this point, I think his presence has certainly helped us. I hope that we can continue to do that. And I really believe that, you know, the performance of guys on our defensive side of the ball, creating turnovers like we have, is starting to elevate everybody. It's kind of contagious. It's like anything else. There's negative contagious and there's positive contagious. And there's some positive contagious going on, and our challenge is to keep it positive.
Well, the turnovers have been absolutely contagious. The takeaways, you guys have already smashed the doors off of how many takeaways you had last season, and you're only three games into the year. You guys doing anything like the turnover chain? You guys have anything, any props like that right now?
You know, we don't do a turnover chain. You know, we kind of feel like our mentality is literally going to be about winning games, winning football games. And what we know about that is that if we protect the ball and we take it away, the byproduct is usually what you want. It's winning games, right? So we don't need a turnover chain. We need wins. We need a bowl bid. That's what we need. And so we're trying to focus on just one turnover at a time and one prevention of a turnover at a time. And, you know, we studied all over the country, including the NFL. You know, we rehired a guy named Buddy White here. He's an analyst for us, and he went and served with the Denver Broncos as a minority intern, and he brought back a great idea. You know, they do a thing called the Swarm Master. And what the Swarm Master is they track how many different opportunities guys are having throughout practice, throughout the week, of getting balls out. How many times are they punching? How many times are they ripping? How many times are they scooping and scoring, even on incomplete passes? Because if you think about it, offensively, you don't want that ball on the ground. So it doesn't go on the ground a lot around our place because there's such a premium on it. But how do you practice scooping and scoring? We basically work anytime there's an incompletion, we count that as a fumble now in practice, and our guys practice scooping and scoring. So we get used to it, right? And we're ready for it when it comes our way. So that was a great idea that he brought back, and our guys have really bought into that. And it's a big deal to be the Swarm Master. We have one on the offensive side called a body blow beast, and that's really about the dirty work. It's the cut blocks by the guys interiorly. It's a downfield blocking by the receivers. And he who collects the most points going into that game and then finishes in the game, he becomes a Swarm Master and the body blow beast for the week. And those guys, they get certain privileges that the other ones don't. It's a big deal to be that, and I think really it's become more of a big deal because they see the byproduct being winning.
All right, Coach. But once again, we have Kansas football coach David Beatty on with us. I've had a source tip me off to a possible another secret weapon that you've unleashed this week in practice, which is my good friend Katie Lonergan as the guest DJ for the music during practice. I like to fancy myself as the person that taught her everything she knows about old school hip hop music. So I want to know how she did. Did she bring it, and did the players appreciate the music selection in practice this week?
Nate, I love you, bud, but there's few in the world more talented than Miss Katie. She is really, really talented. And I say that jokingly, but she really is. I mean, this team would not be the same without her. She is one that our kids, and they trust that she does such a great job of developing them with regard to how they manage themselves in the public and in the media. And she's got some real hip-hop knowledge her, which is pretty good. I mean, she's got a connection that I thought I had. She's maybe a level or two above me, so I'm glad we got her on our staff.
I'm taking credit for that, Coach. I just want you to know that. I think she'll back me up on that. I worked with her for a long time on this. I'm glad to see that it's paying off, and I hope it works. I hope it works for the guys. Now, this game against Baylor, you know them well. It's the first Big 12 game of the season for you guys. Tell me what maybe are a couple of the big things that we should be watching for in this game. What stands out to you about Baylor as you look at them on film?
Well, I think it's Matt Rhule. You know, he's done a really, really good job in a very difficult situation there. And you can see that team is confident, and they are completely bought into what he's doing philosophically there. But the thing that sticks out to me is just how hard they play. The defensively, they are a swarming style, upfield style of defense. And that can be a problem now because you can cause things to happen in the backfield, and there can be issues if you're not careful. So we know that going into this game. We understand they've got a kid named Blake Lynch that's a really good football player. They've got another kid named James Lynch, the Lynch brothers. They're not even brothers, but the James Lynch kid plays DN. I mean, this kid's improved so much. He's a terrific player. He's a problem, right? And, you know, they've got some guys defensively. Kedrick Bonds, who's from Poteet, I recruited that kid. He's a very talented guy. He's always around the ball. They got good corners. They run really, really well. And then offensively, they have really two really good quarterbacks. They have an NC State transfer in addition to the Brewer kid. Both of them run way better than I want them to. I wanted them not to be able to run very good, but that is not the case. They run better than you want them to, so we've got to do a good job of containing those guys. And then they both got three very, very talented receiving targets. The Mims kid, who I've said it publicly, there's so many good receivers in the Big 12, but I think he might be the best. This kid's a really talented guy. And then they added Jalen Hurd, who's become a receiver. He's dropped like 20 pounds. and he's 6'4", 215 pounds, and he's turned into a great player. They get him the ball a lot, and then Chris Platt, who is a, you know, he's a sprinter for him, and recruited him back in the day. So, I mean, they've got players, and they've got guys that have been around for a long time. They're really good up front, you know, and Matt does such a good job with them. We're going to have to go down there in that hostile environment, and we've got to make sure we get off to a great start. We've got to win the battle of hidden yardage in special teams, and then we just got to be the smartest team. We can't give them anything. We can't go backwards by having penalties, and we just can't give them any yards. We've got to make them earn it. If we do that, we think we give ourselves a chance.
Coach, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Good luck down in Waco, Texas on Saturday.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Hey, give Steven our best. He doing okay?
Yeah, he's going to be fine. You know, hey, Coach, you deal with it. Concussions can be a serious deal. And he had a car crash this last weekend. He's going to the doctor today to check everything out to make sure he's all right. But I told him, you know, you can't be staring at computer screens and doing all the stuff we have to do to be on the radio till you get that sorted out. So he'll be okay, but he's doing the proper things to make sure that he's all right.
Good deal, man. Hey, we appreciate you having us on. Give him our best, man. Rock chalk.
All right. There's Coach David Beatty. And, of course, you can listen to that game right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB on Saturday at 2:30 with our network pregame at 1 o'clock. You've got extended pregame with Brad Porter, Jayhawk Game Day, starting at 11 on your home for the Jayhawks, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What's up, Kansas City? Jake Gutierrez here, and I'm here to tell you about a new wellness brand for men. It's called 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, all for men. That's right. They're going to hook you up with real solutions, not some over-the-counter at a drugstore or over-the-counter at a gas station. That's right. Guys turn to weird solutions, or they turn to nothing when there's options.